Chapter 133. When Rachel awoke, the room was dark. A clock glowed 10:14 p.m. The bed was not her own. For several moments she lay motionless, wondering where she was. Slowly, it all started coming back. The megaplume. This morning at the Washington Monument. The president's invitation to stay at the White House. "I'm at the White House," Rachel realized. "I slept here all day." The Coast Guard chopper at the president's command had transported and exhausted Michael Tolland, Corky Marlinson, and Rachel Sexton from the Washington Monument to the White House, where they had been fed a sumptuous breakfast, been seen to by doctors, and been offered any of the building's 14 bedrooms in which to recuperate. All of them had accepted. Rachel couldn't believe she had slept this long. Turning on the television, she was stunned to see that President Herney had already completed his press conference. Rachel and the others had offered to stand beside him when he announced the meteorite disappointment to the world. "We all made the mistake together." But Herney had insisted on shouldering the burden alone. "Sadly," one political analyst on TV was saying, "it seems NASA has discovered no signs of life from space after all. This marks the second time this decade that NASA has incorrectly classified a meteorite as showing signs of extraterrestrial life. This time, however, a number of highly respected civilians were also among those fooled." "Normally," a second analyst chimed in, "I would have to say that a deception of the magnitude the president described this evening would be devastating for his career. And yet, considering the developments this morning at the Washington Monument, I would have to say Zach Herney's chances of taking the presidency look better than ever." The first analyst nodded. "So, no life in space, but no life in Senator Sexton's campaign either. And now, as new information surfaces suggesting deep financial troubles plaguing the senator..." A knock on the door drew Rachel's attention. Michael, she hoped, quickly turning off the television. She hadn't seen him since breakfast. On their arrival at the White House, Rachel had wanted nothing more than to fall asleep in his arms. Although she could tell Michael felt the same, Corky had intervened, parking himself on Tolland's bed and exuberantly telling and retelling his story about urinating on himself and saving the day. Finally, utterly exhausted, Rachel and Tolland had given up, heading for separate bedrooms to sleep. Now, walking toward the door, Rachel checked herself in the mirror, amused to see how ridiculously she was dressed. All she had found to wear to bed was an old Penn State football jersey in the dresser. It draped down to her knees like a nightshirt. The knocking continued. Rachel opened the door, disappointed to see a female U.S. Secret Service agent. She was fit and cute, wearing a blue blazer. "Miss Sexton, the gentleman in the Lincoln bedroom heard your television. He asked me to tell you that as long as you're already awake..." She paused, arching her eyebrows, clearly no stranger to night games on the upper floors of the White House. Rachel blushed, her skin tingling. "Thanks." The agent led Rachel down the impeccably appointed hallway to a plain-looking doorway nearby. "The Lincoln bedroom," the agent said. "And as I am always supposed to say outside this door, sleep well and beware of ghosts." Rachel nodded. The legends of ghosts in the Lincoln bedroom were as old as the White House itself. It was said that Winston Churchill had seen Lincoln's ghost here, as had countless others, including Eleanor Roosevelt, Amy Carter, actor Richard Dreyfuss, and decades of maids and butlers. President Reagan's dog was said to bark outside this door for hours at a time. The thoughts of historical spirits suddenly made Rachel realize what a sacred place this room was. She felt suddenly embarrassed, standing there in her long football jersey, bare-legged, like some college co-ed sneaking into a boys' room. "Is this kosher?" she whispered to the agent. "I mean, this is the Lincoln bedroom." The agent winked. "Our policy on this floor is, don't ask, don't tell." Rachel smiled. "Thanks." She reached for the doorknob, already feeling the anticipation of what lay beyond.